Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while, and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time.
Yeah.
And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof,
which we love.
Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions.
Yep.
So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production, again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers,
dude,
you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, geez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hello Sport Podcast. I'm of unqualified opinion and unwavering bias. Coming to you, well, from all across the beautiful planet that we inhabit, known as planet Earth. Eddie, yeah, I believe in LA, but fuck, it wouldn't shock me if he was somewhere else.
He I'm is. In kids somewhere
drizzly
else.
Drizzly Bondi, toddlers in the Drizzly Hills District. Dior Dave joining us from the Drizzly Alexandria region, the Hello Sport Shane Keith Production Center of Excellence. But we're all united by one thing, and that's the internet, which, you know, you may argue from the moment it was invented is leading to the impending demise of our species generally. Like, that may be true, or maybe not. I don't know. There's a lot going on. Obviously, you're on holidays. No one else is. Everyone else is working. You're on holidays. You know, there's heaps going on here. You're on holidays, and we just want to know. Like, so obviously, there's things to talk about. Like, from here, obviously, in a very specific, like, Hello Sport world, but also sporting world. But then, obviously, you're on holidays. So, how is it, mate?
I am on holidays, Tom. You're absolutely right. Well done for getting that correct. Great start to the podcast.
Thank you.
I am fucking terrific. I find myself in Mexico City. I've just arrived. And I've just had fucking tacos, and they were unbelievable. And quesadillas. And, like, potatoes. I don't know what, like, I don't know
potatoes,
what to go with potatoes is. I don't know. Potatoes aren't, I wouldn't say, Mexican food. When I think potatoes, I think Irish people. You know what I mean? So, I don't know what the fuck
what to go. Is it racist to attribute potatoes to Irish, but, like, not racist to attribute tacos to Mexico? Do you know what I mean? You know, like.
That's probably, it's probably a question for Dio and Dave, you know what I mean? So you wade through these murky waters. I don't know what you can attribute to what, but know this, punters and dribblers. I've been in Mexico City all of an hour, and 90% of the food I've seen has been tacos. So make of that what you will. Make of that what you will. Don't
how
judge.
How were they?
Just telling you, just relaying information. They were fucking great, Tom. Can I be honest with you, mate? I was thinking about you during the meal, thinking Tom would like this. Tom would like these tacos.
I appreciate that. I would have liked it.
I don't know. I was having a really nice time eating my fucking tacos, and I thought of me old mate Tommy Berms, the son of an Aussie.
Soft shell?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Tortilla, like a floury tortilla. Like a wrap. You know what I'm saying?
Like
a wrap. Yeah, yeah.
But, dude, when we were coming up, I don't know if this is just me here, but when we were coming up, tacos were shell. And then
they were shells. You couldn't
couldn't
get a soft taco. You couldn't get a soft taco.
It wasn't even in the fucking. It wasn't a lexicon. It was. There was no like. Oh, this is a soft shell taco. Like, didn't happen. And then one day, fucking without any consultation with me, as far as I'm concerned, soft shell tacos became a thing. I'm not complaining. I love them. I actually prefer them. But it seems like you can just make shit up these days and just go, oh no, this is what this is now.
Well, I wonder whether our friends, the Mexicans, Tom, dear friends, obviously they're playing host to me now. I'd like to see the data on how many Mexican friends we have, if indeed you are listening from Mexico, shout out to you. I wonder if they always believed in soft shell tacos, Tom, and it was Australia that fucked it from the jump. With the crispy shelled ones, which were great, by the way, but they were a mongrel to eat and remain a mongrel to eat.
Well, you know, like it wasn't abnormal for an errant shard of hard shell taco to find itself lodged within the roof of your mouth, you know, requiring either mum with the tweezers or a surgeon or, you know, some sort of reconstructive surgery. It wasn't beyond the pale to have that sort of a thing happen to you. The soft shell just... you know, it just made life a lot easier.
From my research here, it does seem like soft taco shells are the more authentic and were the first before hard shells came along.
So almost
you can be
like
sure of two things.
So you carry on there, Eddie. We are dealing with minor lag here, punters and dribblers, and we
are. I was going to say, punters and dribblers. You can be sure of two things when eating a hard shell taco. A, there will be blood of some description. You're going to cut yourself. Yep. It's going to happen.
Starring
in the mouth,
Daniel
obviously.
Day-Lewis. That's what that movie was about.
Starring Daniel eating tacos. Fucking
hard-shelled tacos.
Yeah. There will be blood, 100%.
The other guarantee. Sure.
Yeah, he did. He won an Oscar. He won the Oscar for his portrayal of a Mexican man who went to Australia and ate fucking hard-shelled tacos thought, what the fuck are these? The second one with the hard-shelled taco punters and dribblers is that you know for sure that you're losing at least 50% of that thing onto the plate.
Yep.
If not higher. I mean, I've had I've had hard shell tacos where we're working with 70-80% on the fucking onto the plate. Then you got to get the spoon, you got to get the fork, or you just dive right in with the hands. But you lose.
There's no way of shoring up the structural integrity of the base end of your taco. And obviously, who knows which end, like both ends of the arse end of the thing, you know what I mean? Whereas at least with a soft shell, you have the ability to wrap and fold and secure. Now, obviously, depending on what meat you're consuming, let's say it's a mince meat where there's a bit more, say, maybe liquid that lives within the mince, or a pulled pork, for example, like I had the other day, that obviously has an ability to soak through a soft shell taco and fuck the whole thing for you as well. But it's just much more secure on the whole.
Much more secure. You make a great point, because you can fold the arse of a soft shell. You can fold itself back on itself and you're home and hose. But I get the feeling, Tom, just if I'm just to run an eye over your operation, generally speaking, is that you probably look to put more into the taco than the taco can withstand. Is that probably...
Well, you know, now this is, there. You know, you can spin this whatever you want, that I'm putting too much into the more than the taco can hold, or do I have too much faith in the taco and I'm being let down? Like, maybe that's more what it is, that the taco isn't holding up to the fucking standards that it's set for itself. And maybe, you know, but you could obviously argue that I am putting significantly too much, and maybe I'm looking to now, much like when you're rolling a joint with tally-hos, I'm looking to lick and join tacos together to extend the overall size of my taco, my floor space, if you will.
Can we fucking flesh this out for a second and hang with me, punters and dribblers?
Yeah.
Much like rolling a joint with the tally-hos, you're licking them, you're putting them together. What if you were to put some cheese on there and then grill it quickly? It melts and you've fucking stuck them together. Now you're talking.
There you go. That's a pothead's taco right there. And there's, speaking of potheads, here is my tea. Say hello.
Hello. Hello, Zozo.
Now, I did try to time this conversation that we're all having with... would you call it a matinee screening of Peppa Pig's greatest hits? I have them literally just on all fucking day. Well, not all day. I've just whacked them on, like, just as we've come on here, hoping that, like, this can maintain their attention. But Zoe literally has just climbed in there. She climbed up the grate and then opened the door handle, which you see right there, and then just, like, swung into the fucking room. But she's gone, so fingers crossed. Back to more important things than my daughter's ability to break into a room, and that is one's ability to extend the floor space of a soft shell taco. I don't think. Well, you know what else? You know how it seems like every. I'm sitting back a little bit too much here. It's like these talking tacos get me a bit too toey. I need to fucking sit up. Every couple of weeks, right, or every couple of years, even. I get it. Like, older.
Well, hang on. Well, hang on. Well, hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Every couple of weeks or every couple of years?
I corrected myself. I correct the most the latter, because not every couple of weeks, because that just wouldn't be smart business. I'd say every couple of years, maybe once every year, but I'm saying every couple of years. Your old El Paso, business. Whoever's making the business decisions at old El Paso is constantly looking for ways to change the game, right? So we started in Australia with the hard shell.
We then went to soft shell and we haven't looked back. But then they had the hard shell flat bottom, so it would sit up. So like, you know, because it was a rounded bottom, the hard shell, and it would just flip-flop all over the joint unless you had something to secure it. Then they went
Well, that's where they brought in the taco holder. They brought the taco holder in, which was the step before the flat bottomed.
Then, Eddie, I don't know if you've seen this, there's now a taco cone. So it's basically like the rolled burrito. It's like the rolled taco, but just a hard shell cone. It's like an ice cream cone for meat and shit. Like, it's degenerate in its appearance, but in its functionality, it is a stroke of genius. So I'm wondering whether the next one could be some sort of a kit that allows you this ability to extend, give you like square soft shell tacos that you can either cheese together or maybe give yourself like a bit of a sewing kit and some more structurally like some sturdy cheese that you could like sew this bitch together with.
Well, you're not far off, Tom. I'm just on the I'm on the Old El Paso website right now. There is one you've missed out. They've got a stand and stuff soft tortilla boat. So a soft tortilla that's like more flat and almost like a burrito bowl. It's giving you like this kind of, so it's not long ways like the burrito pocket, but it's a lot flat but still has the edge. So it's a pre-made burrito bowl.
For those of you listening, and Dave, you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you're just listening, it's a bit like, is it sort of shaped much like Oliver Twist's hands were when he said, "Please, sir, can I have some more?"
Yes, very similar. Probably more consistent in the range.
Coming
but
up to a little less. And would you say slightly larger than an orphan's hands?
Well, they've got the mini ones and they've got the regular size. So the mini ones, I would say, similar size to an orphan's hand.
They're the
He's
Oliver
more
Twists.
An orphan. Yeah. Well, you can get the orphan or the adult. Yeah.
The orphan's portion.
Yeah, the orphan portion. Yeah, that's actually a diet that Old El Paso has introduced. The orphan portion, where you eat like an orphan and the weight falls off you.
Fuck, it works though. It works. Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, fucking crash, hell.
The results speak
Listen,
for themselves.
It's a little crash. You can imagine the testimonials. Listen, at first I thought eating like an orphan was a little on the nose, but then I lost 20 kilos and started to root again. So
that fucking that little orphan Oliver Twist was onto something. That kid was onto something.
Mate. Well, he was a visionary, Tom.
He was,
and probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. Oliver Twist of diet fame.
Well, one of the earliest dietitians we had.
Punters and Dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now, you can follow along all of our bets at in the About Even private group on the Neds app. You can also follow our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but the civilian bets is where you can see me getting to my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
You mean, you know, wow, Eddie, just you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
You just where were you? Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full pixie stuff. So now you're just going to say, you're going to talk about the fucking profiles tab as well? You're going to talk about the About Even group? Yeah?
About Even group.
Yeah, how do you get in there?
That's what I said, code Dribblers.
Oh, okay, there you go, good. Yeah. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah, great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallosport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hellosport.shop, bang, rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler. And we're just like, let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up.
I was out on Friday night, Edward. I'm emceeing a friend of the show, Will Hickey's wedding, with his brother-in-law, soon to be. And so we were catching up to go over some shit, you know, like, what do I need to do? What do we need to be aware of? Of which, you know, Hickey was across some of it, but less than you probably would have hoped, given, you know, coming there to get some info. We ended up just sitting there. Eventually his fiancée came, Geordie, and we had a proper chat. But Daddy, shout out to Manly Skiff Club as well, one of the more beautiful places I've ever been to. But I reckon from about 3 till midnight, Daddy was on the margaritas exclusively. And then from about maybe midnight to, I don't know, because I don't know how long it was, Daddy was on the toilet and he was booting. Now, Daddy also made a promise to one Stephanie Birmingham Nistankovic, mother to his children, wife of coming up on 3 years now, that he'd be up early on Saturday, kids to the beach, doing the right thing, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I erred. Is it erred? I erred. I made a mistake. I lost track of time. I lost track of myself. It was very out of character for me, but didn't get home till, gonna say four.
Ooh.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, that's, I'm not a naughty boy like that. I'm usually a you know, if I've got a curfew, I would say that I'm pretty good at sticking to it. And I don't usually have curfews, so, but yeah, late one. And then because she's a saint, she actually let me sleep in on Saturday.
So did you break curfew? Were you given a curfew?
I wasn't given a curfew. I was like, don't worry, I'll be back. It's all good. I'll be up in the morning. Like, I won't have a massive one.
So where were you vomiting for 4 hours from midnight?
No, it wasn't 4 hours. I felt better after the vom, I think, and then I, kept going.
Yeah, so you've got that in you, which I've always found surprising. Like, you'll just duck off for a fucking hearty boot and then continue as if things are just, you know,
like
as
never
they
happened.
Were. I'm guessing Tommy's margaritas? Would that be correct?
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
The agave syrup in there, basically like a sugar syrup, I think probably what did you in there, Tom, pounding them with reckless abandon. Were you doing 2 an hour? Could we, I mean, how many are we looking at here? Are we ruling out 18 margs? Is that too many?
I have no idea. I mean, I have zero idea. I was going, like, the sun was shining. It was a fucking beautiful day. Like, they were tasting phenomenal. They were going down smooth. And then, like, the crew grew. So it was, like, initially me, Hickey, and Mitch, and then Geordie came, and then Bracey and a couple other people rocked up, and, like, girlfriends, and everyone was there, and it was just, like, and I just was, you couldn't wipe the smile off my face, you know? I was just ready to go. I was excited. And sometimes you make bad decisions, but...
Where'd you end up?
I apologized. I ended up back at Hickey's house. That's where I blew up his bathroom. Much apologies. Many apologies. A thousand sorries to you and to Geordie. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Actually, you know what? I'm not pretty sure of anything. I don't know what state it was in. But like, I would assume I didn't leave it. I'm a stand-up guy. I don't know if I'd leave it in a bad way necessarily.
Can I ask you this? Have you still got the gig?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, I still have the gig. I do. I think I left on good terms, but I can't be sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, well, are you talking about the MC or am I still married?
I'm talking about the MC because, listen, if you'd gone in there and blown up the bathroom from both ends, which you've got, you know, you've got in you, I dare say Geordie just goes, you know what? My brother's doing it. And we're just keeping it that way. It's simpler, it's easier. He can't be trusted. The bloke's an absolute fucking menace. He blew up the shitter and then stayed for 4 hours and then left. You know what I mean? Kept me up. Didn't flush. Didn't wipe down the porcelain. Didn't wipe down the floor. Exactly. If I'm painting worst case scenario here, Tom. Worst case. I don't think you've done that. Although maybe she's just letting the dust settle. Maybe she thinks a Tuesday message. This is Geordie here. Maybe a Tuesday message probably more appropriate. You know what I mean?
I called Hickey the next day just to sort of like, you know, thank him for his hospitality and also for, you know, just a generally fun day and everything else. And when I reminded him of the fact that I did blow up his bathroom, he didn't even remember. Well, as in he was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So, like, I'm assuming that he'd been to the bathroom within that time and there was no lingering, you know, like, scent of me.
Mm.
So that's good. That's positive. But, again, I think a special shout-out to my wife, who, if you're listening, great. But if you're not, that's also good. But I do thank you for being so forgiving. What a great woman.
Love that. You know? What a great woman. I think that's a beautiful touch, Tom. Just a quick question. How's the bum hole holding up? It's all right?
Good. We're back. Yeah, we're back. And just looking now to I guess, like, build on what was an unideal start to 2024, rectally speaking. And just, you know, trying to, I guess, just get better every day. I'm going to be back in the lab with Jeff Athletic tomorrow. All keeping me on my feet. I still don't think it's time to sit down on an exercise bike, for example, but, like, you know, I think it'll all be like stand, maybe even hit some mitts. Nothing that's going to put too much pressure on anything that doesn't need it right now. But yeah, I'm back.
You're back. Well, thank God for that, mate. I mean, I've been worried about you, obviously. Yeah. You're always at the forefront of my mind and my worry and my concern. I'd just be getting in there tomorrow and saying, listen, Jeff, it's a new year, it's a new me, and let's just start fresh. Let's start at the start. And maybe he's got some rectal stuff that you can work on. You know what I mean? Maybe you do a bit of clench work.
Clenching.
If it works for pussies, it must work for bumholes, mate.
You would have thought so, right? And, like, but I wonder if there's some sort of apparatus that you could insert into the anus, the anal cavity, like, goes up and then sort of opens out much like an arrow, so it can't fall back down. Attach some weight to that.
Or a fish hook.
Well, yeah, but I want to be able to get it out. So, you know, a fish hook's a bit sort of like, fish hooks for life sort of thing. You see great white sharks with a fucking hook in its mouth for like 50 years. I don't want that to be the fate of my asshole necessarily. No. You know, look like some fucking BDSM freak who's got fish hooks in his ass.
Listen, the first iteration's never going to be the one we go with, but we're just throwing around ideas here and we're looking to strengthen, not lengthen necessarily, we're looking to tighten and strengthen your bumhole so we can strengthen. So basically, you know, this year you can jump back on an exercise bike from time to time. Yep. Yep. You know what I mean? You can go to the shitter without bleeding. That sort of thing.
So that I can walk the streets with confidence. You know what I mean?
That's right. Walk the streets like a man who's in charge of his faculties, who's got control over his body, who looks like,
call Dior's dad and say, listen, stop sending the adult diapers. We don't need them anymore.
Listen, I've fixed that problem. Job fixed.
Yeah, retired. Job done. Adult diapers. I was going to say, Eddie, because we were, you know, given that, you know, going back to Josh, and we're still on the six pack city train, and you know, I'm sort of looking to, not like new year, new me, fucking, I don't, you know, you don't want to be the sort of person who just tries to get fit for 1 week, which is what we do every year, but 2024 is also going to be a year of gut health for me. So I just wanted you to know that, and I wanted everyone to know that, because I went to a doctor and they basically said that my gut health is fucked. So I'm like, okay, cool. So it's now 2024 is a year of like six pack city. It's also a year
of
gut health, and you're the Manly Seagull.
And health, health generally, really.
Health general. Not just about like getting jacked. That's obviously something that you and I will constantly strive for jackedness. Shout out to anyone with peptides. Mm. Let us know. But general health, getting healthy, you know, health generally.
100%. Health generally. Tom and I, just to sort of clarify the peptide comment, we have no idea what they are. We know that Stephen Dank was a big fan of them. We know that allegedly. The Sharks were too, allegedly, or is that proven? I don't know.
I think anyway, it's just easy to say.
Sure, allegedly. Let's just keep things squeaky clean, shall we? Stephen Dank, allegedly big fan of peptides. What's the go with them, punters and dribblers? And I don't want to Google it. I can't be fucked. No. I want someone to come in with information and go, yo, this is what you do. Also, what are the cons? What are the pros? Like, if...
Is this like steroids? Is this going to shrink your testicles and give you back knee? Or is it like, no, it's just something overblown?
Right. I don't want small testes and I don't want back knee. Let's start there. No. What I would say, though, is... Let's say Tom and I start cycling a peptide or two, and for reasons out of our control, we might have a huge weekend, and then we lose all momentum for the next week. Just the next week, but that week we're also on the peptides. Is that going to be an issue? Like if you sit there and do nothing except eat KFC and you're peptides. On peptides, is that a problem? Like, how does that manifest? Does that fuck you up? Or, and again, I'm naive. I'm not. It's not my world. Or do the peptides sort of just do their job anyway? Like, if I'm going for a bit of a walk with the dog for 20 minutes, am I getting jacked if I'm on peptides? Like, that's sort of what the information that I'm looking for. But
and like, but also like, you know, you're not. If you're on peptides, Eddie, which we're not, we're just like we're asking questions.
No.
Obviously, the general approach would be you'd be exercising, you'd be lifting weights, you'd be doing the right stuff for most of the time. But then every once in a while, you're ripping your tear, as we all tend to do. And then maybe it's just walks for a week or, you know, very minimal step counts, like dangerously low step counts for 5 to 7 days. Does
like
that
less than
completely...
a thousand. Like less than a
less
thousand.
Less than a thousand.
A day,
yeah, no. Bathroom to the, you know, bedroom to the shitter, to the fridge, to the bedroom, to the couch. Like really sort of minimal stuff. Or to the front door, Uber Eats, KFC, whatever. Like does that completely counteract everything you've done? Now, also just while we're saying that, because obviously what we're describing there, Eddie, is like being severely like bounced out.
Mm.
Oh, what? Oh, what? Nothing. That was all. That was all. Don't worry. That's all I was saying.
Damn. That's all he's saying. Bounced out. We get it. We know what we're talking about. What I guess a different way of asking this question, Tom, would be like, okay, what if two really follically gifted podcasters approaching their mid-30s, one of them their early 30s, but middling around that number, were to go on a 7-day extravaganza to Sin City, Las Vegas, and they were also on the tides then. Is that good for the soul? Where does that leave you? You know what I mean?
What's like, how do peptides sort of mix with you know, like booze and...
Do they mix? Are they...
Is it oil and water stuff?
Is this exactly, is this oil and water or is this like Nesquik and milks? You know what I mean?
I do have some info on peptides here. So peptides is like, it's a name for a large different group of things that are all amino acids, and there's a lot of different ones. Ozempic is actually a peptide. So peptides are also found in a lot of foods, just naturally, like eggs, legumes, like chickpeas, stuff like that. It's found naturally, so you can increase your eating of those. It does say, like anything, it's pretty safe if you're taking it in moderation, and you can get it prescribed from a doctor, peptide treatments, and, you know, that's all safe. It does say drinking on peptides can increase blood pressure, but it doesn't say it's going to kill you. I think if you're drinking, like, straight spirits, you might be okay, because it says staying away from, like, juice, wine, other sugar high-calorie drinks.
Okay, so it's just pound techies and techies and tides is what we're talking about.
Techies and tides, baby. That's 2024, techie and tides. Yeah. I have a really strong suspicion, Tom, like a really strong suspicion that you and I get fucking yoked this year.
Yeah, naturally, all naturally.
Like naturally, you know what I mean? Like yoked. Yeah,
well, naturally. Well, it sounds like they occur in naturally in legumes and shit. So, like, who's to say that I'm just not fucking...
Hey, it's like eating a fuckload of eggs and chickpeas, mate.
Yeah, that's what it is. Also, Dave, while you're there, obviously I'm not going to trust anything you research, but if there's any negative impacts on gut health, because obviously that's important for 2024.
I'll get on that. But also, it did say another thing peptides are good for is for keeping your skin, like, free of wrinkles and for keeping it nice and tight. It's good for skincare peptides.
Is there a world, Eddie, where we've been sort of made to believe that peptides are bad because of Stephen Dank allegedly and the Sharks allegedly? Like, obviously, we're not professional athletes, right? So, like, we're not doing something that's giving us an unfair advantage in the world of athletic endeavor. We just want to be the best we can be. And if peptides are the way to do that, then why are they so maligned? Where is I still haven't really heard the, like, problem with them yet.
Tom, I'm just a 32-year-old male with shitloads of hair sitting in Mexico City fresh after a fucking taco lunch that'd make all men come. And I'm hearing of a wonder drug that's found in chickpeas and eggs that'll get me fucking yoked beyond belief and get my skin tight like I've had a fucking facelift. I'm trying to come up with even a theory as to why peptides are so maligned. They occur naturally in eggs and legumes, okay? They get you fucking yoked beyond belief. Tick. And they get your skin tight as a baby's bottom, baby. Like, let's get fucking fair dinkum right now. I don't know what the fuck the problem is. Steve Dank, allegedly, and the Sharks, allegedly, have done more damage to this poor, struggling wonder drug than I think many of us could have imagined.
It's got the potential to change yours and my life for the better here. I've only just started noticing signs of aging, really, because, like, every time I look at myself in the mirror, I sort of go, oh, that's basically the youngest man you've ever seen. That's a 25-year-old staring back at me. Obviously now, a little bit of gravity taking place, couple of fucking lines here and there, but not really. Obviously still good enough to, like, you know, like, I'm enough where I can save it, right? I can stop the signs of aging with this wonder drug that is peptides, it seems.
Do they put peptides in, you know, your L'Oreals and shit? They must.
Maybe. So the thing about peptides is that there are a lot of different peptides. So on your question, Tom, there are gut health specific peptides. There's BPC-157, which is derived from the stomach's gastric juices, and it activates your body's growth hormone receptors to increase blood flows and enhance healing and help your gut health and whatever. But there are also ones that are much more heavy in terms of growth hormones, which are the ones that the Sharks were using.
If you were, say, like, unwell, let's say you had cancer and you didn't know, and then you start getting on growth hormone, I don't think that's good. Now, obviously, you're assuming you have cancer before you start having, but I think what you want to have is a pretty clear understanding of where your body's at generally. And then we start getting on the heaviest growth hormone cycle possible without looking silly.
Done. 2024, baby, we're going to be fucking shredded, and I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see the look on my wife's face when she just sees an Adonis standing in front of her. Says she's hot and horny already. She's loving it. Think Brad Pitt and Troy punters and dribblers. Think Brad Pitt and Troy when he comes back after killing people and he takes off his towel and he starts to wash down. That's what I'm thinking for myself.
And Rose, you've got to set lofty goals. Rose Byrne's there going, have I just been given the greatest role in cinema history? I just get to sit here and like wash off a dirty Brad Pitt and then chomp.
Yeah. I mean, she's technically his, like, you know, captive or whatever, but...
I know, and obviously if you look too much into that, there's some problematic air, like, things around it, but if you sort of ignore that and just go for the, like, that's really hot, then...
Yep.
And it's a movie, they're acting, then it's just hot, I think.
Well, let's just reverse it for a second. Let's say you and I were taken captive by, like, Margot Robbie. You know what I mean? And then she wanted to fuck you, even though you're the captor. You're chained up and
I'm
shit.
The slave.
You're not saying you're the slave, and Margot Robbie's like, oi, like, you're my slave, but I want to fuck you. What are you gonna say? No?
Oh no. Oh no. Heavens above.
Oh fuck, jump on me. Oh no. No.
No. Yeah, exactly. No. So like, you know, it's context. Context matters. Context matters.
Yeah. And Rose Byrne saw Brad Pitt and said, yes, please.
Yeah.
She forgot all about the shackles.
Like, if I was Brad Pitt's slave, I'd be saying, yes, please. It doesn't need to be Margot Robbie. Obviously, a little bit more in my wheelhouse, sexual orientationally speaking. But, you know, if it's Brad Pitt in his prime, you're probably just saying yes anyway, right?
I think so. It's something to tell the grandkids, you know what I mean? Brad Pitt railed me in his prime. I think you just lean into that.
Peptide Brad put one through me in his prime.
Yeah, put one through me. Yeah, blew my back out. Loved it. Okay.
Prime time Pitt on the Tides.
Yeah. Prime time Pitt. Gave me a prime time route. Like a real fucking, you know what I mean? Like 7:30 Sunday night sort of stuff.
Anyway. So your holiday's been good, mate.
Mate, it's been fucking nice. It's been very, very nice. It's moving too quick. Shock horror. But, you know, having a fucking ball, mate. Hawaii was lovely. LA was good. Cold. Really cold. Like, was wintry. Like, jumpers and shit, which I've never really experienced there before. But, mate, good. Just ate well, drank well. Drinking like a fish, Tom. Drinking like a fish. And loving every second of it. Shout out to the Americans, if I may, for, and I've said this before, but it needs mentioning once more, Tom, for their ability to free pour, and you just you're pissed after two cocktails. You know what I mean? That's all you need. In Australia, they're measuring every fucking meal. You need 50 to get a buzz on. Over here, baby, they just roll out the red carpet for you. Two margaritas, two martinis, you're done. You're off to the races, which is fantastic. What isn't nice, though, Tom, again, we've been over it in America, punters and dribblers, if you haven't been, you have your eyeballs ripped out, financially speaking. The dollar doesn't convert terribly well. There's taxes for everything. I was doing like fucking I was paying wellness taxes the other day, bro. Wellness taxes. I don't know what the
fuck does that
fuck
mean?
A wellness tax is. 1.5% wellness tax. You got state tax, federal tax. Then you got to tip the fuckers. I mean, it's never fucking ending. And why, for fuck's sake, they don't include taxes in their fucking pricing is beyond me. What? Why do I want to get surprised when I go to the till or when the bill comes? Why do Americans want to live that way? Don't you want to know things? Why don't you want to go, oi, this will be fun. Let's get up to the counter and guess how much this is going to cost. Why would you want to guess how much something is? Don't you just want to fucking know? Madness. And there's just taxes on taxes on taxes. Wellness tax was a new one. Tom never come across it before. Apparently they're starting to roll it out. But God knows what else is out there, mate. It's fucking lucky I wasn't there for too long, but it's just, it's unbelievable. That aside, having a fabulous time down in Mexico now. Mexico?
Where I don't speak. Yeah, you didn't say it great.
Mexico? Mexico?
Yeah, better. Mexico?
Where I don't speak a lick of English, Spanish rather, and not many people I've come across speaking much fucking English. So a lot of pointing going on at the moment, but that's all right.
Oh, really? I thought there would have been a little bit more given
Well, the guy at the hotel spoke English, but the where the taco restaurant we went to, no English, no inglés. Is that how you say it? The guy that drove us from the airport, no inglés. Again, I'm probably butchering that. But you know what holds us together, Tom? You know, as a people, as a species? Laughter. Point and laugh. Just point and laugh at shit. We're having fun. We're jovial. I've got no fucking idea what you're talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. We're pointing and we're laughing. We're having a great time. And I really appreciated him just sticking in there, the driver that we got back from the airport. He, at the start, he goes, Espanol. I said, nah, none. Zero Espanol. And he's like, perfect. Doesn't give a fuck. Just pounds out the Spanish the whole way home. He's pointing at stuff. He's recommending restaurants and all kinds of shit. I've got no idea what he was saying. But I liked that he was hanging in there. He was doing his best. I could see that he was trying to come up with words that sounded a little bit more English than Spanish. Didn't find any. In fact, found none. So, but I find there's
a fair bit of English in, like, there's some
mezcal, tequila, reposado, añejo, all that sort of shit. You know what I mean? Taco. Yeah, well,
I think they're just like Spanish words that you know. I don't think they're English words. You know what I'm saying?
But we bonded. We bonded over mezcal. We bonded over tequila. We fucking bonded over those words and tacos.
I love that the only Spanish words you know is just fucking alcohol
and tacos.
And taco.
I don't know if tacos is Spanish.
the health and wellness tax that you were referring to, Eddie, is I think it's to do with companies. They implement that to cover their employees' health insurance. So you're essentially paying for the employee's health insurance to contribute to that.
Which is that sounds about right.
America's like the ultimate form of capitalism, where if you own everything, you just go, I'm going to take all the profits here. I'm going to take all the profits. And then you, the consumer, you can pay for their healthcare. You can pay for their fucking wage. You can pay for their living and shit. It's bold. Like, listen to this, mate. I was sitting in a car. An ad comes on, right? And they're like, it's about driving around a hot dog car. So it's a car that looks like a hot dog, right? And
makes sense.
You've got to love hot dogs, but you've also got to love driving. That's what the ad's saying. They say that the yearly salary to drive 200,000 miles a year, which is like fucking, it was like 800 Ks or something a day. You had to drive this hot dog fucking van around. 800 kilometers a day is what the math is, I think. Anyway, I probably got it wrong. Some kind of be like,
like an absurd amount of kilometers a day.
35,000 a year.
Jesus Christ.
To drive a hot dog around for fucking 12 hours a day. Isn't that insane? 200,000 miles divided by 365. 547 miles a day. Which is like 800 cars.
How are you even doing that a day? Like, that just doesn't even seem achievable.
You'd need to be on the fucking ice, wouldn't you? You'd need to be high as a kite.
Yeah, but like, are you driving cross country or are you just driving around LA?
I think you're just fucking driving this thing. Like, you got to cover like 26 states or something. So you're like, you're on the road, but even still.
What an absurd job.
But that's America for you, mate.
Yeah, it is. It is America.
Everything smells like weed. You get a waft of weed at least in LA every fucking 10 steps.
Now, do you find that enjoyable or not? Because I've heard some people, like, one of their main arguments about, like, not having weed in Australia is like, we don't want it to just smell like pot everywhere. I'm like, is that really the best reason you've got?
I could see where it's like some people would be like, I don't lie. I'm like, I'm a bit over that. I can probably see that.
Right, but what about the smell of like garbage? You know what I mean? Like, what about just the smell of just like garbage generally?
Well, it's better than garbage. It's better than garbage. Obviously, you can't smell, so you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But it's a lot better than garbage. Now, also in LA, Tom, now this is the future right now. They've got little fucking carts that are driving around everywhere delivering shit.
What, like driverless?
On the fucking driverless, like on the sidewalk. Like, I look at a video of one, I'll send it through to your toddler and you can insert it here. Like, you'll just be walking down the street and a car will just be driving past. When you get near it, it stops to let you go past, and then it just takes off down the road.
And what, so like it Wild knows stuff. What address it's going to, and like it'll ring the doorbell or some shit? Like, how does it...
I have no idea. Or maybe it alerts you on your phone. Like, maybe it goes a little siren or something.
Could you, like, take something out of it if you wanted to?
I reckon you could pick it up and run with it and, like, try and smash it open. But it looked to me like it had a roller door that was locked. This thing also didn't look light to me. So, I mean, I don't know if you'd be... I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze to, like, pick this thing up and try and smash it open to probably get out like a burrito or something. You know what I mean? What I found interesting about this robot thing more than anything was like how fucking little it affected me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just got to the point where this crazy shit's happening. Like, fucking robots are delivering food and you're just going, eh, whatever. You know what I mean? Not a big deal.
Yeah, play on.
You would think something like that would rattle you to the fucking depths of your core, but... You just sort of nod and get on with it, right?
Yeah, nothing's that weird anymore. I was listening to
That's a good point, mate.
Jim Norton was on Joe Rogan the other day, and he was like, because you know, Dave, you brought up the other day how there was like all those Jewish people that were like living in fucking tunnels under the ground in New York. Now there's all the footage of them climbing out of tunnels and all that sort of shit, and he was like, at any other point in fucking, like, relatively recent history, that would be, like, the most absurdly main... Like, that would be the main news story. Like, what the fuck has been going on? But it's kind of just, like, it's crazy. But there's, like, something crazy that happens, like, that gets your attention somewhere else. And, like, there's just not enough time to consume all of these absurd stories that are going on. So now you got robots driving fucking burritos to people's houses. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That seems pretty fucking normal these days.
It's fucking weird shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, how far away are humanoids, mate? You know what I mean? Like, they would just be walking down the street with fucking robots running next to you. Like, that can't be that far away. Like,
no, that's not far away. That's very close, I think. And, like, in terms of everything with AI, like, from the sounds of it, and from the sounds of it meaning things I've peripherally heard and barely, you know, retained... It's like that shit is seems to improve so exponentially that like it's very close. Like general fucking AI, I think is general AI the next bit where it's like general intelligence?
Well, general AI, they don't know when they. From what I've read about general AI, they don't think it's that close. They think it's like, you know, it could be 100 years away, sort of thing.
And why is that?
Well, because they don't know how the brain works, so they don't even know... You can't really mimic it, they don't think, because they don't even know how our own brain works. Does that make sense?
On that, yeah. Some Japanese scientists, I read this the other day, they created the world's first mental images with AI. So they basically hooked up someone's brain to an AI and were able to generate the image that person was seeing in their head through AI. And so now they're talking about, like, mapping dreams and stuff.
Oh, great.
I had some
it's all getting a bit hairy fucking McClary from Donaldson's Dairy for me, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. I keep looking at farmland. I'm like, I just think I need to, like, have somewhere that doesn't even have to have any property on it. Just, like, a plot of land out in the fucking sticks where... I can run away to when things get hairy. Now, obviously, all it would take to overthrow me and my farmland is someone with a gun who, like, has just even the faintest idea how to live in the outdoors, and I'd be fucked. But at least I could prolong for just a little while. You know what I'm saying?
You're almost leveraging what I heard recently about billionaires building bunkers. Have you heard about this? Like, all the billionaires
building
fucking bunkers and shit?
Is that wigging
you
out?
Is that wigging you out?
Yeah, that did wig me out. That wigged me out reading that. I'd seen it on
Twitter. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true or what the fuck, but I know Mark Zuckerberg is building a serious bunker in Hawaii, apparently, which is like off the chains wild. Then I just, you know, I can't help but start thinking about our little green mates in the fucking sky who we just keep seeing time and time and time again. And now I'm like, listen, is there an invasion fucking pending that only rich people know about? Like, what's doing? Yeah. What's going on?
But, like, listen, obviously I wouldn't have a bunker, right? But if I've got, like, a plot of land, like, are the aliens going to come for me? Or is the whatever going to happen? Is it going to fuck me on my plot of land? Where, like, I'm just like, listen, take the cities, leave me alone. The problem is, though,
the
city then, the people in the city then come for you. It's a bit fucking Last of Us. Everyone just starts to spread out. And it's like, well, now I've got this plot of land, but am I going to be able to defend it? Fuck no. I can't even keep my kids out of this fucking room.
Listen, I don't have much Last of Us about me, I don't think, you know what I mean? I'd probably just have to succumb early and get it over and done with, you know what I mean? Yeah. Probe me. Yeah. First in line to be probed. Probe me and kill me, and then I'll just be fucking, that'll do, you know what I mean? Mm. That'll do. Yep. Anything happening in sport over there? Is it just Jason Saab getting a beautifully elegant and understated tattoo? Is that about it?
Dude, that Maryland's on his back is one of the purest fucking things I've ever seen. Like, it is fucking gorgeous. Now, listen, that's obviously the biggest news in sport in Australia at this point. Like, so it's correct and it's right and it's appropriate that that be the first sports story we talk about, you know, an hour into our sports podcast. The Maryland's tattoo across the back of the fastest man in the history of NRL, Jason Saab, who's just, you know what it is as well, what I like about it, Eddie, is like, it's the appropriate next step on the career progression of Jason Saab. Like, leave the Dragons, number one, smart move, come to Manly, breakout year, fast as fuck. Then I think lead the try scorers thing the year afterwards, another great year. Then have a year where people start doubting you, like, oh, is he really up to it? Well, you know, he needs to improve this. He's not physical enough. Oh, sick. Let me put in a couple of kegs and become a man and have my best season ever last year. Now it's like, okay, I'm an established great winger. I have dreams of representative honours. I think I can go to the next level. If I'm in, like, a video game, it's like, now I've got a bit of money to spend. Like, I'm going to go down to the tattoo parlour and get my fucking hometown blasted across my back, and now
that's
he's
the five-step plan.
Rip and tear. That's it. That's it.
That's
now
the five-step,
like,
plan.
I mean, I don't call it now. What's fucking is there a market on NRL top try scorer for 2024? Because if there is,
mate, it's a lot.
If there is, it's Jason Saab.
It's an absolute lock. It's part of Jason Saab's five-point plan. The fifth and final step, obviously, adorn the body with the Maryland's tat, get it as big as physically possible, and then go out there and score a fuckload of tries for the Manly Warringah Seagulls. I mean, what a fucking plan that is. Load up punters and dribblers now with our good friends at Ned's, because that's houses, that bet. That bet is as safe as houses. If you believe in omens, like Tom and I do, that's an omen.
We will alert you on the odds for that when they come to hand, if they are currently available on Neds. But that was the biggest news story, Edward. You are correct. And friend of the show, Jason Saab, proud of him. I hope we get to see him when we're in Vegas, because I'll be asking for a photo with the tattoo. I will be. I want to see it.
You can bet the fucking last dollar you got, mate. That's exactly what we'll be doing.
That's what we'll be doing, getting a photo with the Maryland. It's like the Hollywood tattoo event, you know, like it's the Hollywood sign for rugby league is the Maryland's tat on the back of
you. You want to get a photo with the Maryland's tat, 100%.
Now, the other things that were in the news, so couple of things with the Dragons, Eddie, not that anyone gives a fuck, but you want to talk about, it's funny, I don't want to throw shade at our good friends over at Bloke in a Bar and their Monday podcast, but there's a very good chance that they jinxed the Dragons. Now, they're already a shit club, the DMC Dragons, but the guys were on there talking about how good they're looking at the moment. Like, a couple of months ago, you may not have been saying it, but now that, like, how good are they looking? Volkman's over there. You know, they've got all these plays. Everything seems to be, like, coming together a little bit. And then, bang, Ronald Volkman. They find out that he was a signing from the Warriors. Find out he's got a shoulder injury. Don't register his contract. Corey Allen, who you know, has played Origin, but has been sort of bouncing around from the Rabbitohs to the Roosters to the Bulldogs, maybe, and now to the Dragons. ACL out for the season. Feel sorry for all of the those injured players who now can't play. But, like, I think that Kempe has jinxed his own club.
And also, Volkman was only signed because they had to deregister the contract of Talatau Amone after he was convicted of something, so...
I believe it was a hammer attack on a tradie, but you can look into that yourself. We didn't want to cover that one too much given the serious nature of it, but a hammer attack on a tradie. I will say this. There are times, I would imagine, when you have builders working on something for you and they say it'll be done by this date and then it's not, where in the darkest recesses of your mind, you could imagine attacking them. I'm not saying with a hammer. I'm not saying you want to kill anyone, but I'm saying you could see that happening. Unfortunately, the reality is that it's not okay to act on that impulse.
No, it's not, Tom. No, it's not. And that's just a lesson for the kids out there. Don't act on your impulses if it involves a hammer and a tradie. Just fucking, you know, just yep. chill out. You know
just
what I mean?
Chill the fuck out.
Just chill out. Well, that's great. I like the bloke in a bus, Denon Kemp's cursed his own side. Obviously, one of the Dragons' greatest ever players. Pretends like he's a fucking Bronco. Only played a handful of games for them, if my memory serves me correctly.
He's the favourite son of the Dragons.
That's right. But early curses get get blood flowing to the shaft if it involves a DMC. Tom always has, always will.
The Tigers sacked Fulton before he even had a fucking real crack at the job.
Love that. So what, 2 months in, that's perfect stuff.
2 months
obviously
in,
not a whole
sacked.
Lot of synergy.
No. You know, you take a couple of Manly's great junior players and then they fuck him off.
Nice. We love that. That's strong, powerful stuff.
Then a couple other ones we whip through because my children are becoming stir crazy and there is a limit to the control I will have over them. Zoe back hanging off the door. Come in. You're okay. David Warner. Fresh.
Oh, the helicopter.
The helicopter to the Big Bash game. I just think that, you know, people wonder about the state of cricket in Australia. Where's it going? Like the state of the Big Bash. Like what's happening? When you can be chopper in and out of games, the game is it's a healthy game. It's a healthy game.
It's a healthy game.
Big Bash is alive and well.
He was really feeling himself, David Warner, when he came in that chopper, wasn't he? When he gets out, thumbs up to the crowd. Really, really big fan of his own work, which I liked. Yeah. I like seeing it. Not every day you get to chop onto the SCG. Obviously, hallowed turf, punters and dribblers, best cricket stadium in the world. We all know it's true. I like it. I like seeing it.
So do I.
You know what it is? It's pomp and it's pageantry, mate, and cricket gets that. Rugby union could fucking use a couple of lines out of that bloody hymn sheet because what put bum on seats and eyeballs on screens? David Warner getting a chopper to the fucking game. I mean, that it writes itself, punters and dribblers. Yeah. I think that's beautiful really stuff from the Big Bash. That's paid for itself, surely. Paid for itself already.
You would have had to have thought so. Now, obviously, I mean, there's a part of me that thought that maybe Dave's brother would have moved his wedding just to accommodate Dave. But I think the better outcome was a chopper onto the ground.
Pretty selfish of his brother, really, if we're going to get fair dinkum. Probably could have moved it for his big bro or little bro. Don't know what the fucking order is. But the chopper will do, mate. The chopper does the job. He gets there on time. Do they lose? I think that's a nice bit of poetry.
They did
lose,
yeah,
we love that. That's beautiful stuff. That's the way it should go. Chopper from your brother's wedding. Leave that early. Get to the ground. Lose. Chef's kiss. Congratulations to the Big Bash League. That is fucking terrific.
We love that. Now, there's a couple of things here we just got to get to before we wrap up. One obviously being now that Smudge officially the new opener for Australia, just so that Baggy Green can get in the side at number four. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. Sure, Cam Bancroft's upset. I get it. He fucking was like, what more could I do? There's no more you could have done, Cam. That's the reality. You couldn't do any more. Like, you could have literally, you know, you could have had the great Sir Donald Bradman living within you through osmosis, much like I did in my famous 2021-22 Thick Ropes County 11 season. But you don't. But even that wouldn't have got you back in the side, because Smudge said, you know what, I'll open. And he, and Smudge said as much. He goes, look, it's not actually about me wanting to, like, you know, just add another little fucking, like, complete the career mode of cricket. Obviously, that's a part of it. Like, I like the challenge. But he's like, I actually just want to get Baggy Green in the side. Like, that's how good he is. And is Baggy Green a better player generally, as we lose Eddie? Is Baggy Green a better player generally than Cam Bancroft is across the board? Like, are we a better side having Baggy Green in there, who can bowl as well as bat, and we've got Smudge up the order? I'd say we
and
are.
And Field in the gully.
And Field in the gully. Mitts as big as fucking catcher's gloves. Like, you know, I'd say, as and being someone who has no fucking idea what they're talking about, that that just seems like the better option. Now, there has been some pauses in this podcast due to general lag. We are speaking across the oceans, the seas. But currently, Eddie's just disappeared. Now, that could be down to a laptop charger. It could be an internet connection. I'm not sure. What it does make me realize, though, is that people who sit there and do podcasts all by himself and just talk to the camera, it's an art, it's a skill, and it's an acquired taste. I don't know that I would be able to do this for an extended period of time. I could do it for some. I could do it for some time, sure. But for, like, what, fucking hours on end? Or every week? Every episode? I don't think so. Now, the other one, and we'll wait to, you know, Eddie will come back, and we can have a discussion with him when he returns. I don't know if any of you heard this out there in the land of punt and of dribble, but the AFL, in what can only be described as the most AFL thing maybe of all time, have removed from their, like, pre-season, like, book that they give out, which has got, like, all the data and facts and shit on all the clubs and all the teams and all the players, they've removed players' weights, as in how much they weigh, from the fucking book. Because it's not an important... It doesn't matter anymore. Here we go. Is he back? Is the kid back?
Kid's back.
Battery died?
Nah. It's just the internet is not super stable.
Well, look, it's been good up until this point. Eddie, the final note I've just been touching on with the punter and the dribbler, because make no mistake, I continued while you were gone.
Good.
The AFL... Good. The AFL have... So there's, like, all these preseason books, like, it's a preseason, like, you know, magazine or a book that comes out with all the club data, player data, stats, whatever they're.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. This is fucking ridiculous.
So they've removed the player weights from that thing, the booklet or whatever it is, saying that it no longer, like, bears any relevance, or, like, it's not necessary information. And you're like, listen, guys, it's a professional sport. So the physical condition of the athletes kind of is important. Like, if you... And, like, in rugby league, it happens all the time where, like, Latrell's a bit out of shape, or fucking, you know, Josh Schuster gets it fucking every other day, right? Like, it's not about fat shaming. It's like there's a certain standard that you need to uphold being a professional athlete, and there are certain things. Like, why not... Let's not fucking focus on their verticals. Some people can jump higher than others. It's not like, why would we be shaming people on the ability of their, you know, that they have to jump or not jump? Or, like, what about, it's not fair because Luke Brooks is way smaller than fucking Jason Saab. He's not going to be able to jump as high. Like, how is it not relevant?
What I don't get is that what it does is it provides context to the player. So, like, okay, I can formulate
in my mind what's going on. Oh, this guy's fucking 2 meters, but he also, like, maybe he's 90 kilos, he's a bit leaner than someone else. Or this guy's like thick because he weighs 120. Like, okay, I can start to paint a picture in my head. They are professional fucking athletes, particularly in the AFL, all in incredible nick. Is anyone sitting there going, ooh, he's a bit heavy, he's a bit light? None of us know what the fuck we're talking about. The only ones that know are the strength and conditioning coaches that have, and they know it on a bespoke level to be like, ooh, we'd like you to be, a, you know, maybe two kilos lighter. But they're not writing that in the book. Oh, trainer wishes that fucking buddy was 2 kilos lighter. You just get their fucking weight and you move on. It's the most pathetic, beta, lefty bullshit I've ever fucking heard in my life. And it's fucking, it makes me sick. Like, what are these losers doing sitting in this fucking meeting? Go out and do something productive, because what you're doing is fucking utter madness. And to be honest with you, I'm starting to look at you as like an organization, like as a body or whatever the fucking word is for like running the game, and as an administration. And I'm starting to ask serious questions about your sanity, because this is absolutely fucking insane. Weight and height, amongst other things, are like part and parcel of what it means to be an athlete. Not just an athlete, but just in general. Like, you and I always ask each other what our weight's doing. Why? Because we're curious, and it gives a bit of a fucking insight into what's going on. Or if you're an AFL player, you're in impeccable nick. They all are. So I don't know what we're doing, what we're protecting them for. It's not like there's big, huge fatties running around in the AFL. Like, oh, we can't fat shame them. What are we talking about? They're all fucking 20 Ks a game. What in God's name are we talking about?
But also, weight is important, and weight is relevant, and it's a critical marker that fucking that people use to like work out your health, your BMI. Oh, you're this tall and you're this fat. Well, maybe you should actually lose some weight because you've got like fat around your fucking organs. Your weight is relevant. To say it's not relevant, you know what's not important? What some fucking losers in AFLHQ think about weight. Like, no, you don't decide what's no longer relevant, you dumb fucks. Like, it's, you're making weight weird. Stop making it like, you're making it weird now. You're making it weird, like, oh fuck, no, we can't talk. It's like, no, it's all good, you can. Same way you can talk about expectations around fitness and expectations around speed and expectations around athleticism. It's all part of it. Now, sure, you don't need to go up to some fatty on the street who's wearing a Fitbit that looks like it's about to explode off their fat wrist. Like, you don't have to do that, right? But to pretend like it is not important, or at least an indicator amongst other indicators of someone's overall general health, is just fucking insanity. And to actually make it a point in a professional sport where it is more relevant and more important than in any other fucking job is bonkers.
Tom, we've reached a point now where it's acceptable to have visceral fat around your main organs, and you'll be in an early grave by like decades. Like, that's sweet, that's cool, but you're not allowed to talk about a professional athlete's weight. Like, you're not allowed to do that. Like, oi, by all fucking means, you big fat tub of lard, like, go and die 30 years early because that's cool, but like, there's no way in the world we're going to talk about professional athletes' weights. Because that's not cool.
I mean, but like, on the flip side, you wouldn't be like, I'm just sort of saying this is coming to my mind, so I haven't really fucking excavated whether this is even right or not, but like, you wouldn't hold back from telling someone who was had an eating disorder when they were starving to death, like, hey, you need to eat something because you're going to kill yourself. Do you know what I mean? You'd be going, hey, this is unhealthy. Stop what you're doing. You wouldn't be like, hey, everyone's got a different body type. Everyone's cool. It's all good. Like, there's a reality to life, and you can be unhealthy on both ends of the spectrum here. But like, Let's not be precious about someone's feelings when their fucking longevity is on the line, let alone when you're an AFL player and there's no issue about longevity. It's just about them being fucking, you know, can you run 20Ks in a game?
Completely agree, Tom. Absolute madness. Complete and utter madness.
Is it not the most Victorian? Is it not the most Victorian AFL decision? Like,
it's very Victorian. It's very, very AFL. It makes me sick, to be honest. But I'm not shocked.
It's ridiculous.
Like, when I read it, I go, "That's the most AFL thing I've ever heard in my life." Yeah. And I've heard some very AFL things before. So, for this one to take the cake, so to speak, then you've needed to impress me, and you've done that.
But you've, I imagine as well, the AFL players, like, en masse, most of them would still be like, "That's ridiculous."
But the player weights are all still up on the club websites. It's just that the AFL body decided not to include that in their publication, the AFL record or whatever it is. So it's not like they've banned them from, like, you know, posting.
Yeah, losers. No, losers.
But I mean, I would imagine the club probably could ultimately make that decision. But the thing is, they've made a point of it.
Mm.
They've made a point of coming out and being like, "Oh, it's not relevant anymore." Like, it's just like, stop with this shit, dude. Stop with it.
Losers.
Relax. What do you think, Dave? This is one of those things where I think you've got a common sense mind, but then obviously you are captured by the absurd section of society, so I don't entirely know where you will sit on there. Sometimes you surprise me.
I just don't think it's as much of an issue as people are making out to be. Like I said, the information's still up there on player websites. If the AFL doesn't want to put it on their record or whatever, then whatever. I was also reading an article about this, that they stopped doing the skin fold tests at drafts a couple of years ago. They stopped doing that in 2021 because apparently the science wasn't completely, like, you know, there can be outliers or whatever, so it wasn't a great way and it was affecting people's mental health. So yeah, I don't really care. They can do what they want.
Right. So you're happy with people, like, with a governing body, like someone who's in charge, like being able to do what they want with their business, but just not as it pertains to, like, say, Elon Musk with Twitter or something like that.
Well, for their business, well, it's not really their business. It's the players are contractors to the AFL. The business would be the clubs.
Got him.
So the clubs are still doing that.
Wrecked.
Got him, yes.
Absolutely wrecked.
Elon Musk can ruin Twitter all he wants.
Got him, yes.
We're going to enjoy it.
Got him, yes. Got him, yes.
Fellas,
gentlemen, it's been
us.
A pleasure. I've got to get ready for dinner.
Yep, and I've got to go and deliver on my promise of sushi train and macarons.
Love
at
that.
11 in the morning. So, love ya. Shout out to the pun on the drill.
Love ya.
This Thursday, we've got the great and the powerful Louisa Dalden of We Mean Well fame joining me on the podcast. So,
cute. Love it.
I'll see you
love
for
it.
That.
And I'll see you in a week's time, punters and dribblers. Love you all very much.
Bye-bye.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.